I want to read a lengthy portion of Scripture to you. That shouldn't bother anyone when a minister reads a long passage, because that is the only time you can be sure he's not making a mistake, because he's reading the inspired Word of God. Let us read the Word of the Lord found in the Gospel according to John chapter 2. Gospel of John chapter 2. The third day, there was a marriage in Cana, of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, "They have no wine." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, "Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast," and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, "Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now." This is the beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. This we find recorded, as the Scriptures tell us, the first miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was not the first miracle associated with Jesus Christ. His conception and birth was a great miracle. The reason that he came is a great miracle. The fact that he came, the fact that he was willing to come and die for bankrupt sinners, is the greatest miracle and wonder upon wonders this world has ever known.
Amen.
Neither was this the first miracle that Jesus ever performed. This was the first in his incarnation. But we read that he made the world, Paul says in the book of Hebrews. And John himself said he made all things. The fact that we're living and breathing, because in him we move and have our being, is a great miracle. Nor is this the last miracle he ever performed. Nor is he finished performing miracles. If you have heard the gospel this meeting, that is a great miracle. If a man preaches and you hear it, that's a miracle. Whole lot of miracles going on. I mean, my friends, since Thursday night, you can't count the miracles that have occurred, nor even if you could, I doubt that you would know all of them that have transpired. God, when he answers your prayer, is a great miracle. The Father that he careth for us and loveth us, even though we are wretched sinners, what a miracle that is. But here we find the first of miracles that he performed in his ministry. I like the dialogue that Mary the mother and Jesus the son had with each other. She noticed that they wanted or lacked wine. Mary was a woman that was a very deep thinker. It's a shame what some have done to Mary and that they have deified her. But it's an equal shame what some have done in just ignoring her. My friend, she was one of the greatest, if not the greatest woman that has ever lived. God chose her to bear his only begotten son. And I love that scripture when the shepherds had been told of the birth of Christ. And all those angels appear and they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and upon earth peace and goodwill toward men." On earth peace and goodwill toward men. I believe every angel that was created was there that night. If I was an angel, I wouldn't want to miss that meeting. Amen. Preach the gospel to the whole world. The poor shepherds, you better believe I'll make that association. They did. They preached the gospel to shepherds that night. They came and they found the baby. They found Mary and Joseph, and they told of the things that they had seen and heard. And it said that they wondered at those things. Scripture says that Mary pondered these things and kept them in her heart. She was a thoughtful woman. She was a caring woman. She was a deep thinker. And I have all kinds of admiration for her. She's my sister in Christ, and I can't wait to meet her some sweet day. They have no wine. She noticed that. Most people might have been missing what was to happen, but she knew that this would cause a great embarrassment to the wedding feast. It would be like today if we had a wedding ceremony and they forgot to bring the wedding cake. That would be a disaster to me. I mean, that's the only reason I go to weddings anyway. Well, I'll let you kiss the bride and I'll put up with all your lovey-dovey, but you better give me cake in return. For me to have all that and sappy nonsense, well, I'll back off on that. But I like cake. I mean it. I mean wedding cake. That's pretty good stuff. And to go through all that candle lighting and unity candles and vows and whatever they have today and miss out on cake is just unthinkable. Well, back then, it was the same way with the wine. And so when she said to the Lord, they have no wine, that was an implied order. You need to do something about this. His answer was interesting. He says, "Woman, what have I to do unto thee? Mine hour is not yet come." You know, if I had ever said that to my mother, I wouldn't be standing here today. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be standing here. My children ever said that to their mother, I'm not even going to tell you what would happen. That sounds sort of disrespectful, doesn't it? Woman, what have I to do unto thee? How could the Lord say that to his mother? Well, I just answered the question. He was the Lord, and he spake that way to his subjects. You see, Mary and Jesus had an interesting and a dynamic relationship. She was his mother, but she was also his creation. She was his mother, but he was also her king. She was his mother, but he was her Savior. He was subject unto her, but he was her King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, my friends, we really don't understand this relationship because nobody ever before or ever since has had such a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So as I tell my kids, don't try this at home. You're not the Lord, so don't speak to your mother that way. He could say that to her because he's the king. We ain't the king, so forget about it. But he says, "Mine hour is not yet come." And I believe that what he says was, "I'm not ready to reveal myself. This is not in my determination or my will to reveal who I am publicly." But I love what she said. "Whatsoever he saith to do, do it." In other words, I'm still your mother. Do it anyway. Amen. You see, your mother never stops being your mother. But I love the philosophy of that, and I believe that is a very good way to live. "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." That works all the time. Amen. Jesus tells you to do it, you ought to do it. He tells you to preach the gospel, you ought to preach the gospel.
Amen.
He says to come down and be baptized and take up your cross and follow the Lord, you ought to do it.
Amen.
My friends, if you're waiting to get straight with God, you might as well do it right now because it ain't going to happen. And he says to come down, if you have in your heart to join the church, what's waiting? What's keeping you? Why will you roam from this dear, peaceful home? Right now is a pretty good time. You like to eat lunch early? Come down and join the church. You want this sermon to quit? I'll stop preaching right now and we'll receive you into the church. That's a good way to end the sermon anyway, is to have someone join the church. The only way better to end the sermon is for the Lord Jesus to come back. I'll take either way. I'll take either way. What a way to end the meeting, by the way. But he says, whatsoever he says, do. If he tells you to come down and clean up the church, you ought to do it. If he says you to donate of your finances to the church, you ought to do it. If he says to take in someone, to care for somebody, you ought to do it. If he says that he tells you you ought to pray for the church, pray for your pastor, pray for the sick, pray without ceasing, my beloved, you ought to do it. You can't go wrong doing what the Lord says.
Amen.
But you can go wrong doing what you think.
Amen.
Or what we want to do. I've been in trouble every time I followed the will of David Montgomery. "Thy will be done," as we ought to pray, "in earth as it is in heaven." "Thy will be done in our life." Thy will be done in our church. "Thy will be done in our nation," my beloved. My friends, I tell you what, whatever he says do, do it. Whatever he says do. And it doesn't matter if you don't like it, do it anyway. It doesn't matter if you don't think it's the right time, do it anyway. You say, "I'll wait." Don't wait. Do it now. And so, that's what they did. And so they get these water pots of stone. It says they contain 2 or 3 perkins apiece. That's about 120 gallons. He fills them with water, and he says, "Take them now to the governor." The governor tasted that wine. And he was amazed how good that wine was. He didn't know where that wine came from. My friends, that wine was provided for everybody in that wedding.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus is provided for every one of his children.
Amen.
But only a few knows where it came from. Only a few know the source. It's shed for many for the remission of sins. But who knew it? Who knew where it came from? The servants knew. You want to know where the source of your salvation is? You ought to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to take a step down to take a step up. You ought to forget yourself. Check your pride at the door and check in your humility. My beloved, He Himself made Himself of no reputation, but took upon Him the form of a servant. My friends, that's being a Christian. That's the Christian walk. That's following the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes back to what Mary said. Whatsoever He says do, do it. Follow and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And serve one another. If you come here to be exalted, you've come to the wrong place. Amen. My friend, Jesus Himself said, he that exalts himself shall be abased. But if you humble yourself, you shall be exalted. I came in here kind of low and tired of the world and sick of Caesar's world. And I just didn't think that I had anything to offer. But after I've heard of what good things the Lord has done for me, I feel pretty good right now. I'm ready to, I'm not ready to go home, but I guess I will, and I'll feel a lot better. My friends, we ought to serve the Lord with gladness. We ought to serve one another. And the more that you put yourself in that servant's place, may I say, the more of His glory is revealed unto you. My friends, the more higher in pride we get, the less the glory of Him that we see. We're nothing, my friends. We're bankrupt sinners. We've come short of the glory of God. It's not about us. Church isn't about us. And it's not what you can get, but it's what Jesus has done for you. And we also want to serve Him because what a Lord that He is. What a King that He is. What a friend to sinners that He is. He's your best friend. You may say, I married my best friend. You did. You're married to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your second best friend is your husband and wife. But your best friend is Jesus Christ. My friends, my wife has done a lot of good for me, but my Lord has done far more. He's taken me out of the pits of hell, and He's given me a hope of glory, and someday I trust He'll carry me all the way there. And what a day that will be. The servants knew. They knew where it came from. But aren't you glad that it was shed and it was given for everyone there? You don't have to know the source of redemption to be redeemed. That's good news. It's good to know the source. It's good to serve. But it's wonderful to know that it's not based upon your knowledge or your service. It's just based upon the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you fill them with water. I'll provide the redemption. And then I like that last statement made. When they bore that wine to the governor, he drank that. He tasted it. He said to the bridegroom, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. See, what he didn't know is that the best wine that bridegroom could provide had already been provided. But a better bridegroom was there. The bridegroom was there. And what he provides is so much better than what we provide. Amen. What he brings to church is better than what you bring to church. Amen. Matter of fact, he ain't there, we're not going to have church. Amen. I tell you what, beloved, we ought to do good. We ought to follow the steps of Jesus Christ who went about doing good. We ought to want to be like that, but we ought to know from whence cometh our help. And so we need to understand that it's really not what we do so much as what He has done for us. And in thanksgiving, we ought to try to do as much as we can. But He says, you've kept the good wine until now. I like that text. I like that thought. I like to run with that just for a minute. I think about the old law service. There's been a lot said at this meeting about the Old Testament, the Mosaical law. You know, there wasn't anything wrong with that law at all. It was a good service. As a matter of fact, in many ways, it was very impressive. I think about the Day of Atonement when the high priest would put on those beautiful clothes. He'd go into the temple He'd walk into that holiest of holies, and he'd bring the blood of sacrifice, and he'd come out. Everyone rejoiced that atonement had been made. I think about the Feast of Tabernacles. I would have loved to have gone back in time and seen how they did that. They built these booths, and they'd live in them for 7 days. And I've read that they would actually decorate them and make them colorful. And I'm told that if you stood on the mountains and overlooked Israel during the Feast of Tabernacles, you'd see just the lights of the campfire overspread the city. And you'd hear the voices of the Jews as they would speak one to another, and they would go from booth to booth and in fellowship and just enjoy each other's company. You talk about a camp meeting. That sounds pretty good to me. They enjoyed that. And then on the eighth day, they'd all gather together and they'd go down and they would have this ceremony. And then when it was over, everyone would just shout praises to God. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Or I think about those priests, you know, they were all chosen very specifically. You had to be a good-looking guy to be a priest. There's no primitive Baptist that could be an Old Testament priest. Especially not the preachers. You had to have certain physical features to be a priest. You had to be in shape. You had to look good. You had to have just all the stuff that God said to have. So they were good-looking men, and they were good singers. A lot of times when they would go up to the temple, they would ascend the steps. At each step that they would ascend, they'd sing a verse of the Psalms. A lot of you see the Psalm of the Greek. That means each step they would sing a verse of the Psalms. And people would stand and they'd look at that, and it was impressive, and it sounded good, and it was good. But my friends, he's kept the good wine until now. They had it good then, but we've got it a lot better now. Because I tell you what, our high priest said, well, we've got atonement, but we've got to do it again next year. I tell you what, we've got a high priest said, I've made full and complete and eternal atonement. We've got a better high priest, my beloved. We got a law that can't, they had a law that couldn't make the covers perfect, but we've got a law, my friends, that says I've made you perfect, by the which we draw nigh unto God. We've got a better testimony, a better high priest. We've got a better tabernacle. We've got a better service. We've got a better gospel than they did. He's kept the good wine until now. We've got better singing than they did. Oh yeah, those high priests could sing, but I'll tell you what, you want to know what makes good singing? It's not the basses or the tenors or the altos or the sopranos. It's Jesus Christ singing with us. He says, I'm in the midst of the church singing praises to thee. You talk about a choir. We need a choir of one. We need Jesus Christ. And he don't talk at all. He says, I want you to sing with me. I'm singing praises to God. I want you to join with me. We've got better music, better hymns, better songs. They sing to the soul. They sing praises unto God and they glorify Jesus Christ. For his redemption, he's kept the good wine until now.
Amen.
When I joined the church, I was 15 years old. I've been wanting to join for many years, but I was too shy, too nervous to go up front. Believe it or not, I'm the shyest guy you'll ever meet. I still get panic attacks when I stand in front of God's people, and the Lord has to give me some grace, because this is not my cup of tea. This is not David. This is not my personality. To stand up and be noticed. I kind of like to be in the shadows, but I was too nervous to get up there, and finally, I just couldn't stand it. My little brother Paul had joined first, and I said, I can't let little brother get all the glory, so I'm going to follow him up there. A lot of people forget that Paul was baptized the same day I was, but he joined first, and I just said, I can't stand it anymore. I've got to have this. I'm tired of eating through the cracks. I'm tired of the crumbs. I want to get up there where the people are, and I want to have the full gospel. You can't have it if you hadn't been baptized. I'm sorry. You can fool yourself. You can fool yourself. But you ought to try it and see if I'm right. And you'll never regret it. I tell you what, I've made some mistakes in my life, but joining the Old Baptist Church was one of the best things I've ever done. I've never regretted it. It's been 35 years. And thank God that he gave me the strength to forget myself and to go up there and say, I want to join, and I want to take up my cross, and I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. And it's been a good time. And I thought when I was baptized that next Sunday at Middle Vine Church in Austin, Texas, I thought, oh, this is is as good as it gets. I tell you, I never felt better in my life when I was baptized. But my friends, he's kept the good wine until now. Just when I don't think it could get any better, it gets better. I go home and Robbie will say, "How was the meeting?" I'll say, "It was the best meeting we've ever had." She says, "Yeah, right. You always say that. But you know what? It always is. It's the best. This is the best meeting I've ever been to." He's kept the good wine until now. I've had some experiences with my Lord Jesus Christ. I've walked with Him. I've had some times with the saints of God. I've heard some preaching that just let me feel like I could touch the hem of His garment. I felt like I could see in the glory itself. But my beloved, it just keeps getting better. And just when I don't think it could get better, it gets better. And I'll tell you what, right now, He's kept the good wine until now. It was good last year, but it's better now. If you keep pressing into the kingdom of God, it gets better. The more you see, the better the view.
Amen,
amen and amen. I'll say that for sure. I've never been disappointed. He says, walk about Zion. Tell the towers. Mark the bulwarks. Consider her palaces. I keep counting the towers. I've run out of fingers and toes. There's just so many of them. And I think the palaces are so beautiful. He said, friend, come up higher. Come up higher. I've got some better things to show you. And I'll say, Lord, you kept the good wine till now. And he says, you come up higher. If you think this meeting is good, you know it could get a lot better. My friends, because the Lord is powerful and strong. And even next year, we'll meet again, Lord willing, if this world is still spinning, if God will, we'll meet at the Rich Mountain next year. And I'll tell you what, if God is blessing us, we'll say again, He has kept the good wine until now. There's no end. There's no end to someday, one day, I'm going to stand on the streets of paradise. They may be streets of gold. I don't care. Why not? It doesn't bother me. It may be pearly gates. I don't care. When I see my Lord face to face, and when I've known, even as I've known, I'll say, you kept the good one until now.
Amen.
It was good at the Rich Mountain, but this is far better. And then when I get tired of looking through a glass darkly, I want to see Him face to face. I get tired of being lifted up on the mountaintop and having to go back down in the world again. I get tired of saying, I'm going to keep this feeling, and then Monday afternoon it's gone again. I'll say, I'm going to think of good thoughts, and then I lose it, and the old carnal nature comes back. I'm tired of fighting it, my friends. And when that day comes and I don't have to fight it anymore, when I'm in a body that's incorruptible, I don't know how that feels. How does it feel to be incorruptible? How does it feel to be immortal? We don't understand that. But someday we will. He's keeping the good wine until then. It's good now, but it's going to be better later. Well, I tell you what a day that will be. What a happy, golden day that will never end. We'll say it 10,000 years. He's kept the good wine. 10,000 years later, it's still the good wine. It's not getting old. It's just as fresh and as good and as glorious. Praise God Almighty for what He's done for us. We can't praise Him enough. And I doubt we'll even praise Him enough in that day. But I'll tell you what, I'll say that song, when I see Thee as Thou art, I'll praise Thee as Thou art. I don't praise Him enough. I don't sing good enough, but I think of that song. Who can paint those scenes of glory? Where the ransom well on high, where the golden harps forever sound redemption through the sky. He's kept the good wine. The good wine's coming, my friends. It's good now, but you just wait. And then we'll say, hail ye happy, happy spirits. Welcome to the blissful plain. Glory, honor, and salvation. Reign, sweet shepherd, ever reign. You kept the good wine. And my friends, He's been too good to us. One answered prayer is one we didn't deserve. But we've got more than that. We've got all paradise to look forward to. We ought to be happy about that.
Amen.
We ought to be saying amen about that. We ought to be shouting that out there. And we ought to be on our knees thanking God for that. We ought to come to His house and pay our vows and say, Lord, You've kept the good wine. You've kept the good wine until now. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.